Hi, this is Ken McCarthy of the Systems Seminar, and we're doing our annual pre-seminar series where we talk to faculty members, but also friends and other people who are doing interesting things in internet marketing. And today we're going to be talking with multiple Systems Seminar faculty member, Glenn Livingston of RocketClix. Welcome, Glenn.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you on the call for many reasons, but one of the most pertinent ones is we had a call earlier this week with Greg Davis, and Greg does a lot of CPA marketing, and we got on the topic of career, which is kind of an unusual word or a rarely used word in internet marketing circles, and yet when you look at people who are doing well and are successful, invariably, there was a significant run-up from the time they started to the time things really started clicking, and it's really an ongoing process. It's really you're never really done. You know, you're always learning new things, which enable you to grow your business even better, or make it more efficient, or make it more fun, or whatever your particular goal is. So, literally, a few hours after Greg and I had this conversation about career development in the internet marketing world, I saw your article on the things that you've learned over the last 10 years. And I was reading through it, and I thought, this is too good. Everybody's got to read this, because it's so true in the sense of you're hitting certain points that really are just critical to understand. And it's a real service to people to get the benefit of somebody who's been through the 10-year process. Greg, I know, started in internet marketing, I think, in the year 2000, so he's got 10 years under his belt. We're going to have some faculty members at this year's System Seminar who've been in direct marketing for in excess of 40 years. And we're all learning, and we're all improving, and we're all getting new insights all the time. And so let me let everybody know where they can find this article. It's on Glenn's website, but I'm just going to give you a URL that will allow you to get there very easily. It's thesystemseminar.com/10 years. And 10 is a number, 10. So thesystemseminar.com/10 years. So obviously, I think there were 10 big insights for each year. We're certainly not going to cover them all in this call. And I asked Glenn if he would pick the three that he thought might be most interesting to everybody. And then I think after you've heard what Glenn has to say, you're almost certainly going to want to go and take a look at the article and read the whole thing. It's really a gold mine of insight. So, first of all, Glenn, what inspired you to write this unusual piece of, you know, the 10 things I learned in the last 10 years that really changed my business and life?
Sure. You know, there are two famous quotes that really stuck out to me as the decade was drawing to a close, and I was kind of, you know, I'm a psychologist by training, so I'm a self-reflective person, and every year I do a little cocooning at the end of the year and reflect back on the last year, and at the end of a decade, I just think it's an important time to look back at where your life has come and where you'd like it to go, because the past is quite an educator. And Winston Churchill once said that democracy was the worst form of government except for all the others.
Right.
And then it kind of occurred to me that internet marketing is the worst business to be in, except for all the others. But there are so many obstacles and ups and downs.
That is really profound, because I think both of those statements are absolutely true. It is absolutely, in some ways, the worst business to be in the world. But then when you look at all the other businesses that are out there, you go, oh, my God, they can't do this that we can do. They can't do that. They can't track. They can't make modest, you know, low-risk bets. They can't, you know, really do deep analysis of their customers. So I think that's a really good and wise saying. It'll help us all get through the tough parts
right,
of the business.
Well, and the other thing was I once heard a priest say, if you feel like you could be happy doing anything else, you probably should. And I certainly can't be happy doing anything else. And I really have climbed quite a mountain, but there were a lot of valleys along the way and a couple of places that broke my leg and you know, I can drop the analogy at that point. But I said if I had to summarize the most important things I learned about the business every year, what would they be? And I wrote it for myself first, and I thought, you know what, something I should really share with my blog, because I find that the more naked that I get with my audience, the more they actually implement my products. And I'm a guy who was really, it really disturbed me that the first set of products I came out with, people were saying, oh, that's so brilliant, it's so great, I can't believe you did this. But then if I said, well, did you do it? They're like, nah, makes my brain hurt. And they didn't want to do the work. They didn't believe it was going to happen. And, you know, so I reworked all my products. And so I wanted to, I've been on a sincerity kick in the last 6 months or so, just trying to reveal every last ugly piece of what I've been through, so that people don't just look at the graph that goes straight up on my site and think it's been all cherries and roses. And that's why I did that. That's why I did it.
Excellent. Got it. And that is definitely helpful, and it's something, you know, we try to do here too. We try to point out that, you know, nobody learns all this stuff instantly, that you can spend a lot of time lost in the woods along the way. It's not always a straight line up, and I think that's important if you really are sincere in wanting people to be able to use this information. It's not just enough to give them the technical how-tos. You also have to give them a sense of what the experience of implementing it is going to be like. And, you know, fact is, implementing anything is always problematic, you know, even if it's the absolute best method on Earth, and even if it's the most clearly described method on Earth, you still have to get it sort of under your belt and figure out how to really make it work for yourself. And that's an up-and-down process. And we could contrast that with, you know, methods of presentation that just talk about the instant, easy results. And I think that doesn't do people a service, because nothing's, even if it's clear and even if it is powerful, things are rarely instant and they're rarely easy. And I think some people give up too soon because of the way the situation's been framed.
Right. And even when it is instant, they don't understand everything that went into making that email. You know, people will say, well, I sent out an email and I made $48,000, but, you know, how much value did you pour into that list before you sent out that email, and how much work did it take you to learn how to build that list? And
exactly. Did you make that $48,000 or $48 million? Did you really make it in one day, or was there a, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 year build-up to that amazing event? Yeah.
Right.
So this kind of goes back to, this is the worst business, and but it's all the other ones are
better than all the others.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of groundwork behind every one of these success stories that you read, it's good to be aware of that. And the nice thing is, it's almost impossible to do some of the stuff that we do in internet marketing in any other medium. You know, having a big sale day, how else do you pull that off? You know,
I can't imagine doing anything else. I talk to ordinary people and who don't really have a clue what the internet is capable of, and I can't imagine doing anything else. Do you want to talk about a couple of the particular insights?
Absolutely. Since we can't do all 10, what would your top three or the ones that you think are the most significant to share?
Okay. You know, I'm going to stay away from the ones that are about selling in particular, because I think everybody knows my work with regards to research and selling online. And why don't I start with the idea? This was something I figured out in 2005, that a winning advertising formula does not equal a winning business model. Because when I got online, I thought that I just had to figure out how to get people to buy stuff. And I was a really great researcher, and all these large companies were paying me all this money to consult for them, and I said, I can figure that out. And I worked like crazy to build my marketing research system, and, you know, I got famous for, well, actually at that point I wasn't famous. I opened up, you know, well over a dozen markets by that time, profitably in terms of well, profitably, advertising cost of goods versus what I was selling them for, I was making some pretty good money. But I had no idea what came next. And all of a sudden, there were all these back-end opportunities and partnerships, and I was pulled in so many different directions that there was no way to take advantage of them. And that actually stymied me for a year or two. And to some extent, I still have residues of all of those markets because some of them are still active and are constantly tempting me, but I know how important it is to focus.
Mm-hmm.
So right around then, it became clear to me that, you know, that old, I think the underachiever model was a great idea for people who didn't really know how to market, but if you want to build a $1 million business or a $10 million business, you're probably not going to do it with dozens of niches. Much better off picking one, digging in tight, staying focused, conquering it with focus and determination.
This is really important. This is really important because I think when you're learning the mechanics, it kind of makes sense to try a lot of different things and just, you know, just sort of see how all the tools work and how they fit together and so on. But when it's time to build a business, I do think people are really poorly served if they're trying to generate, you know, 18,000 different sources of income. And this has become, I'd say, kind of a mental plague, I think, in internet marketing. I run into so many people who they clearly get the mechanics, and then I ask what they're doing, and then they list this long series of unrelated activities, and their theory is, well, one of them is bound to click, or in the aggregate, they're going to become something significant. And I know that's not how my businesses have worked, and I'm hard pressed to think of a single business that didn't grow through, very clear and intense focus. So this is a big one for everybody, especially folks that are just finding your way. Again, when you're starting, yeah, try a little of this, try a little of that. You have to. There's no other way around it. But there comes a point when you say, okay, I'm going to put my flag in the sand here, and this is going to be my business, and this is going to be my market, and this is going to be my approach. So this is huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sure. Okay, well then, in 2008, I'll jump around a little bit.
Okay.
You know, when most people know my story, I'd lost all that money way back in 2001, and I was, you know, I had all these patients, and I had all these clients, and I was a very high-paid dollar-for-hours person. And when I went through the financial crisis, I came out of it saying, well, the only good thing that's going to come out of this is I'm never going to do dollars for hours work again. I am never going to do that. I'm not going to have clients. I'm not going to see patients. I'm not going to do coaching. I am only going to sell products, and basically I'm going to be an electron hoarder and let money flow into my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And so for years, as I was online, I just refused that type of work. And people offered me ridiculous money for it, and I refused to do it, just as a lifestyle choice, that it's something that I thought was behind me, and that was all. And as a result of, you know, coming to seminars and, you know, networking with everybody, I had a good friend named Jeff Hughes, and I was masterminding with him. We used to meet once a month, you know, after we met and kind of go over where we were. And he was telling me that he really wanted to build up his marketing team internally because he likes to run with a lot of employees, and I don't have anybody working with me. And I said, well, you know, gosh, I've got these 30,000 people that are constantly asking me for done-for-you services. You know, how about we open up a little pay-per-click management service and see what happens? And I was really very reticent to do that because of that rule I made for myself. But once I stopped being so stubborn, it really opened the floodgates. And, you know, now we've got 30 employees, and that thing just really took off.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, in accord with everything we were talking about before, it wasn't all cherries and roses. There was a flood of clients, but there was a learning curve about what kinds of clients we should be taking and how to best serve them. And even though everybody was throwing money at us, asking us I mean, people would beg us. We would turn them down, and they would beg us to let us in, to let them in. And you have to learn who to say no to. I mean, even when they throw big money at you, you have to learn to say no.
That's a tough one, huh? That's worth spending some time on. I mean, because most of us, when we're starting, you know, we're so you know, hoping to get something to click, and then things click, and you can find yourself in Glenn's position, you know, where all kinds of things are being offered to you, and you know, it's, gee, how do I say no? How do I say no to that project? How do I say no to this alliance? How do I say no to that JV?
You can lose money on clients that give you a lot of money. It's possible to lose money if you haven't strategically picked who your best clients are and how you plan to serve them. Just because people are knocking on your door doesn't mean it's going to work out well for you to have them as a client. So even the RocketClicks explosion, which has landed in a wonderful place, is not something that was all cherries and roses on the, you know, on the growth curve.
You know, it's funny how this your story of initially saying, "Well, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to provide services again. I just want to sell products." There's a similar story right back at the very root of the history of the web, which is really, to be very brief, Mark Andreessen, who kind of made the first usable, workable, popular web browser. There was some fallout at the college where he developed it. It's a long story, but it didn't end well for him, believe it or not, at that level. And so when he came out to Silicon Valley and he met with Jim Clark, pretty much the first thing he said to Jim Clark was, "Look, Jim," and Jim was a huge, you know, heavyweight in Silicon Valley. He'd started Silicon Graphics and had all kinds of money and connections. And Jim was sort of courting Mark to do a new project. And Mark said, "Look, I'll do anything, you know, I'm open-minded to anything, but I will never do another web browser." You know, and of course,
right.
The web browser became the basis of Netscape's business,
right.
And we wouldn't even have probably we wouldn't be having this conversation. May never have even met had Mark Andreessen not been willing to reconsider this sort of
the question to ask yourself is there anything you've been refusing to do which could open the floodgates?
Yeah, and isn't that weird? Now you're a psychologist. I'm glad, so we can actually talk about this in a real manner, because you study these things. How common is it for people to make a decision and sort of stick to it that actually is not in their best interests?
It's really common because of a phobic reaction, because you could experience an event at one level of maturity and not have the capability to deal with that event to your advantage, and so everything in your memory system shuts it down and says, you know, stay away from that hot stove at all costs. But then 5 years later or 10 years later, with the benefit of experience, that same hot stove can be the source of a wonderful meal.
Wow.
Because of your level of maturity. So it's very, very common that people do that, and I think that it's very valuable to revisit your career and ask yourself, where did you absolutely shut off, saying you're never going to do this again, and why did you do that, and does that still apply?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm suddenly reminded that before the systems seminar, I had actually two seminar businesses, one in speed reading and study skills back in the early 80s, and another one providing marketing advice and guidance to people in the real estate finance industry. And when both businesses were successful, they made money, but I didn't enjoy operating them. So I did other things. So when the internet came along, I said, "Well, this looks fantastic. I mean, this is really interesting. I love direct marketing, and you know, the internet is just the most pure expression of direct marketing imaginable. But I'm not going to do any seminars on it. I'll leave it to somebody else. I've had."
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
True story.
Oh, wow.
So here I am, and I'm still going, okay, well, this is the last year I'm going to do a seminar. And then, but the truth is, they're a lot of fun, and it's great to see, you know, all the sparks.
Maybe you should make them bigger, Ken. Maybe you should do it bigger.
I should do what?
Maybe you should make them bigger.
Oh my God!
If you've continually told yourself not to do that, and that's the thing that works so well for you, maybe you should make them bigger.
Well, you know what we are doing. I will say this: is we did experiment with a kind of like a conference format, you know, where we'd have five simultaneous sessions running at all times. And, you know, it added up to, I think one year we had 28 individual faculty members, and those were very interesting. And it was kind of a theoretical thing. On paper and in theory, that looked like it was going to be a great thing. Logistically, it turned out to be, you know, pretty complex. But from a program point of view, I wasn't quite happy with the results, because what I like is being in the room with a really tight-knit faculty. You know, everybody knows each other, and they know each other's work, and there's time for each person to really, you know, talk at length about what they do and answer any questions and even do case studies and hot seats. So we're actually, we had this sort of theoretical, wouldn't it be great if we were this huge conference with, you know, hundreds of speakers and so on. And I realized, well, it might be great in theory, but in practice I like being in a room with you know, half a dozen really smart people that are really engaged and really love what they do and then share that experience. Because what a system seminar is, for people may not be aware, it's what I'm doing all year, except now we're all together and we're on stage and everybody can watch us, you know, think and talk and share ideas and share insights and share strategies. So we have two of the three?
Okay. And then I guess the third real psychological one, and this sounds like it's common sense, but until you experience it, it's hard to get lost otherwise, is that money's just money. And it's a lot better to be broke than to be fat, sick, and broke.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I woke up in 2003 after losing $2 million and what I did, because I couldn't face being broke, was I ate. And I ate and ate and ate and ate and ate. And I put on 60 pounds, and I still have videos of me back then, and I just looked awful. And I was sick, and I didn't have to be fat and sick. I could have just been broke. And I got fat and sick because I made money larger than life. And so, you know, since that point, there have been times when I've got a lot of different companies now, and there have been times when some of them are stressed. And I have a much different outlook on things. It's just money. It's just money. And I talk, even if you're behind on your bills, if you really believe that it's just money and you don't have that level of shame about it, then you can get on the phone with your vendors in advance of when you think there's going to be a cash flow crunch. You can tell them, listen, I'm going to need 90 days at this point or 120 days at this point, and, you know, or 45 days, whatever is different than the terms that you made. And the question there to ask yourself is have you made money larger than life, or how do you make money larger than life? And that was a really big learning for me.
Wow. Well, that's huge. And I think we all, especially in the kind of the way the world is today, you know, we have money channels on TV. You turn the TV on, there's whole channels devoted to nothing but discussing the minutia of money 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Right.
And it's very easy to get swept up in that. And this is a simple idea, but it's really profound. Have you made money bigger than life? And actually, you adjusted it, actually, which is, how have you made money bigger than life? Because I bet every one of us is doing it in one or more ways. The funny thing is, I mean, you know, when I look back at times when I was really pressed, you know, and I've been as pressed as I think just about anybody has ever been, it didn't help by making the money bigger than life. It didn't make the situation better. It didn't give me additional energy or additional insight or additional equanimity or.
I think inherent in the internet marketing fantasy is the idea that we're going to build an automated system that's going to flood our bank account with cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the image that's portrayed online. And so when we, and so it gets very tied up with our self-esteem. Because if we decide, well, that's what we do, we are internet marketers, then if your account is not being flooded with cash, well, you must not be a very good person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very easy to get swept up with that fantasy. And in part, people are reluctant to give that up because it goes, you know, way back to the whole purpose of the call, that there's work involved with this thing, and there are obstacles involved and mountains to climb, and you know, the money doesn't just come flooding in like that until you put all the pieces in place. So better to be broke than fat, sick, and broke.
I love that. The sick part is people do get ill. That's another issue. But making yourself sick, right? So let's say through, negative behavior, that's optional. That doesn't have to be part of the package.
Right.
If you're struggling financially, well, that's a fact, and you just deal with that. You don't have to add all this other stuff. And this kind of brings us full circle, which is I love this saying, which is, internet marketing is the world's worst business in the world until you compare it to all the other
right.
businesses out there. There is some magic in our industry or in our medium, and that magic boils down to this, I think. The fact that we can research things at very, very low cost, and you're a great advocate and teacher of that. How much one can learn without ever having to, leave the house.
Oh, and it's better than it's ever been. The things that large companies were paying $250,000 for, you can now do, in 1 hour a day, over the course of a month at home, for free.
Amazing. Amazing. So, no other medium allows that. And then once we've done our research and when we've come up with some ideas, now we're able to test things. We don't have to open up a restaurant or build a factory or acquire a warehouse full of goods to test something. We can literally, test it for a few hundred dollars and get a very good sense of whether we have something potential to work on or not. And then, if our combination of research and insight bears fruit, we can ramp our businesses up in a conservative way. We don't have to bet the farm, and because of how beautifully the internet can be tracked, we can gear things up. We can pull them back if we've gone too far in the wrong direction. And it's just, we're all going to have to, we all have to make a living. And as ways of making a living go, this one has just phenomenal potential. And like everything else, I'm in New Orleans, the land of music, and as all the musicians like to say, you got to pay your dues. And that really involves learning your instrument, learning to play, just spending time. Getting familiar with technical matters. But what I love about your article, and I really strongly encourage everybody, go there. I'll give you the URL in a second. Go there, download it, print it out, really read the thing. I would even say read it a couple of times. I've done that already, and new stuff pops up over and over again, because this game of business isn't just technical rules. Huh? Those are learnable. There's also this other element to it, and I like to say that business development is really self-development, and I think this article that Glenn's written is he shares a lot of a great insight into that reality. So everybody, I strongly recommend, go to thesystemseminar.com/10 years, and it's the number 10 years. Download the whole thing, print it out, read it, share it with friends, share it with family, share it with the people you know would be interested in this kind of a topic, and I think it's the core. I think these issues are really the core issues, because again, the technical stuff, you'll learn it. It seems like rocket science at first, but eventually you figure it out. But these personal issues, these are ongoing. So Glenn, thank you so much for first writing the article. I think it's a big contribution to our field, and thanks for spending the time going into it a little bit with us, and thanks for being on our faculty in years past, and we look forward to having you again some year.
Thanks, Ken. I look forward to it. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and congratulations on the ongoing success of RocketClix. And I would say, I don't even know if you guys are taking clients on now, but if you've got a good-sized pay-per-click program and you're looking for expert help in managing it and running it and optimizing it, you should definitely make the acquaintance of RocketClix.
Thanks so much, Ken. I really appreciate it. It's a fun
call.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.